And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafeared. Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, IA, from the BEAU default studios of freedomsphoenix.com. Man, today's the day, man. We having some fun today. You know, what we start off with. You know, we got Sam Peterson, GetHaven app. We're starting to do IPFS and Tor, and we get to be private in our transactions, private in our communications. Is that, I mean, how pirate communications are with getting there? So after the show, we're going to be talking to him back, trying to get him and Derek together, because this is the guy. This is the guy we've been waiting on to do and kind of stuff we're doing. Then Joshua Killeen, you know, Army vet, comes back, fight for America and freedom and stuff, went in the most desolate, in the middle of freaking nothing, called Ash Fork, Arizona. Let me tell you why they even call it Ash Fork, because they put that sign on the one building that, you know, kind of leaning over, sitting there. It used to be a post office of the town or something. I mean, it is a wide spot in the road, and here they come. Developers need to, and they're going to get some. Well, what are they backed by? I don't know. Some government money. Some money they just made up, the debt of the kind of, you know, pretend and got down. Oh, they were getting into banking. That's what we're going to talk about now with Ellen Brown. Ellen is an attorney, founder of the Public Banking Institute, a senior fellow at the Democracy Collaborative, and author of 13 books, including Web of Debt. That's where I first remember from. I think we had her on like in 11. The Public Bank Solution, and her latest book, Banking on the People, Democratizing Finance in the Digital Age, 2019. She also co-hosts a radio program on PRN.fm called It's Our Money. Her 300-plus blog articles are posted at EllenBrown.com. Ellen2Ls Brown.com. Public Banking Institute. .org also has information. Now, about the Public Banking Initiative. The Public Banking Initiative was founded in 2010 to further the understanding and implementation of publicly owned banks. I want to define that. To learn about PBI, please visit the links below. Now, we got to go to publicbankinginstitute.org. Public Banking Institute is a nonpartisan think tank, research and advisory organization dedicated to exploring and disseminating information on the potential utility of publicly owned banks and to facilitate their implementation. Ellen Brown, welcome to the show. Ellen, help me out and tell me, when you say public banking, define what we're talking about, please.
Okay, a public bank is a bank owned by a government. So it would be, could be a city, a county, a state, a federal government, as opposed to a bank owned by corporate shareholders who typically want short-term profits. So one of the many advantages of a public bank is that it doesn't have to be feeding its shareholders. It can be focused on the local community and what the local community needs. It can make
No. The central banks, they need to get rid of those because they replace them and you're not allowed.
Not allowed what? Sorry.
Well, you have public banking to say you got it. What's the opposition to that? Well, it may not be the people, you know, but it will be the central banking. They're going to go, wait, the people are banking themselves? Oh, hell no. They're so freaking not allowed. So your opposition is coming from what? Probably not the people. It's probably coming from central banking. So what do they think about your proposition?
Right. And from Wall Street, the big banks that already, right now, cities. Well, I live in L.A., so the city of L.A., last year brought a bill. It was the city council brought a measure for voter approval for a city-owned bank, and we actually got 42% of the vote. But right now, the city banks with Wells Fargo. So Wells Fargo has
Fargo has a lot of municipalities. You know, Wells Fargo is like, and I've had this actually happen. A gentleman was selling a louver on TV. It was advertised as big deals, long story. But it's a louver that went over your driver's license. So you could perfectly see it. You know, it had, you know, louvers in it. But the red light cameras or speed cameras, when they're up high, like, they couldn't see it. So it was, you know, it blocked from them getting tickets in the mail kind of thing. Well, they freaked. And they said, you don't bank, you shut down his credit cards and all his stuff, or you're not able to do your banking or loans or whatever the city of, here in Arizona, city of Mesa. So the banking, you know, you're going after the banking. Well, they're going to go after their customers and punish, and what, this transition, you just have to just do it. And then people sign on or something. They got all kinds of weapons to go after you, especially Wells Fargo. They were bad guys and so much stuff that we're doing. How are you combating that? What is it how's your way to implement this?
Well, the city had already passed a resolution that they were going to pull their money out of Wells Fargo.
Woo!
And several other cities have done the same, Seattle, et cetera, because of all the corruption that Wells Fargo is involved with and because we want control over where our money goes. So, but then the question is, where are you going to put your money? I mean, you pull it out of Wells Fargo and put it in Chase, which is guilty of probably more violations than Wells Fargo. So there, and you can't really put it in a small local community bank because they're just not big enough to handle the city's finances. So then what's the alternative? There is no alternative. So that's why we were pushing for a public bank, and the city council agreed, and they brought this motion. They're going to bring it again. This year we... one problem is there are a number of hurdles to having a public bank that really don't make any sense, legislative hurdles. So we have a bill, AB 857 in California, which has just passed both houses of the legislature, and we're hoping that Governor Newsom will sign it. He's said he's favorable to public banking.
Okay, wait, man. Whoa, there's a whole show right there. Okay, so you have legislation in California that's passed the Senate and the House on the desk of the governor to allow for what you're talking about. Is that true?
That's true.
Boom! Okay, so you've been working on this a while. I remember us talking about this, and I've heard other derivations of this, but the bottom line is, well, it's kind of like what was it, North or South Dakota? I can't remember.
North Dakota.
North
That's
Dakota.
A one
just,
and only model, yep.
Yeah, go ahead and define and tell the audience what they've done, how long they've been doing it, how it works.
Yeah, so the Bank of North Dakota was founded in 1919 by... it was a farmers' movement, a protest movement, that they were losing their farms to big out-of-state banks, and they realized that they were being taken advantage of. It was a huge cartel between the banks, the railroad, and the granary. It was all one cartel, and so they really had no choice but to sell their grain to this granary and then ship it off on the railroad, and they were being foreclosed on for not paying on their farm. Anyway, so they got together, banded together, formed a nonpartisan league showing it was neither left nor right. It was all about keeping our money in the state for our own purposes.
Now, you're talking, this was in 1919?
1919, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Formed a bank. So they've just had their 100-year anniversary. The bank is doing brilliantly well. By law, all of the state's revenues are deposited in the bank. And then it does what all banks do. It leverages its capital and makes, but it's able to make below market loans into the community and to the state itself, et cetera.
Okay, wait. Now we're going in the break. We'll finish up. We'll come back. But I'm you know, getting a bead on it here. The money that is being fractionally reserved or whatever, you know, they're lending out and so on, comes from the people in the form of taxes or whatever that goes to the government, and the government is using the bank that provides the liquidity for the people. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. For the cities and for public
Well, where's purposes? The central bank's role in that?
Well, they still need
okay, we'll be
the
right
central
back.
Bank.
A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com. Okay, Ellen, which one you want to promote? I mean, we got the Web of Debt blog. We got your books, of course, Banking on the People. We're showing rotating graphics on this Web of Debt. And then we got the Public Banking Institute, Banking in the Public Interest. Which one you want us to focus on?
Sorry, I just clicked out. No, I don't see it. Let's see.
No, you don't see. What you're seeing is me. If I hit, you know, wait a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, you're seeing.
That's right. I clicked out my video and I couldn't figure out how to get back in. But, okay. All right.
So you're seeing me, but the audience, I have a switcher here, and like now they're seeing the cover of your Web of Debt. So a lot of times when you're talking, I'll have you there. But the Public Banking Institute webpage, are we promoting that? Is that the main focus of this effort?
Yeah, that's it for public banking. Yes,
okay.
Public Banking Institute.
All right, so we'll
but
do that.
I can talk about many other things, Federal Reserve, et cetera.
Well, you know, the one thing that is of interest, I just had every Wednesday we do like a special podcast thing with James Corbett. And they really, they, them, those, man, they don't want Century of Enslavement, the Federal Reserve, or anything he does on that. They are, you know, shadow banning the crap out of it. And I'm going, of course they are, you know. And then this Plunge Protection Team just did an article. I was complaining with him last night. We had him on, or Wednesday. And I go, you did a thing on the Plunge Protection Team? But it's not a video. I have to like read and go to links and stuff. Do me a video. I need video. Where's my video? Okay. So he's like, all right. He's doing the video. But this Plunge Protection Team thing, the President's Count, whatever the hell it is, you know, I would like to have that explained. Do you know anything about that?
Some, yeah.
All right. Well, if it comes up in conversation, we get some detail on that. Because the more I learn, it's so controlled. Everything is controlled right up until they can't. When the tsunami of all the U.S. dollars from around the world and we ain't the reserve currency anymore and everything goes to crap and the debt of open, boom, then the hyper and we're Zimbabwe. And when this happens, it's going to get crazy and there may be the opportunity for what you're doing. Here we go.
2800 and now, Ernest Hancock.
And we're right back. You know, I wanted to, this is exciting to me, especially in today's conversation. Today was a great show to have all three of these people on the same show. And Ellen Brown, publicbankinginstitute.org. Now this, you know, let me show you the webpage here. You know, this webpage is the beginning of what, Ellen? You know, if I were to go here, what am I getting information on? What do you see? Take action. Okay, I want to take action. What action am I going to do? What are you trying to build? What's involved? You got legislation in California. I mean, you know, you want to other states?
we do have a national movement. There are 25 active bills at the moment in various cities and states across the country, including New York is quite active. Washington State has a bill. They're actually on their fifth bill. They started in 2010. And every time one gets rejected, they just modify it to respond to whatever the objection was. So now they've got, I think they got $500,000 for a business plan, which is due out this fall. And so it's either Washington State or California is liable to be the first to actually get one of these banks. But what we're trying to do, yes, is to duplicate the Bank of North Dakota. We do have two banks now, but the other is the Bank of American Samoa, which finally got Federal Reserve approval to, you need the Federal Reserve in the current system in order to negotiate with other banks. I mean, that you need to be able to borrow and lend and do transactions with other banks. And that's why you have to have a master account with the Federal Reserve. And they resisted for 2 years giving Samoa, American Samoa, an account because they didn't want to set a precedent. But now they have set a precedent, so we'll be following in there.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm doing an account with Bitcoin Cash. I mean, why are we worried about the Federal Reserve? Well, the SWIFT, it's like with Iran, all right? You're not on the SWIFT system, so you can't get transfers, kind of reserve credit. They go, screw it. We'll just take gold from India and give them a bunch of oil. So that's what this Syria...
But we're talking about governments, and they're not going to do their own digital currency. They should. I mean, it's not a bad idea.
Oh, no, it's coming. It's going to be GoldmanSucks.gov coin, I guarantee it.
Yeah. I agree.
Now, here we go. Now, North Dakota, when they're doing, it's North Dakota, right?
Yep.
Okay, North Dakota, I didn't know it was 100 years ago. I knew it was a while ago, but I didn't know it was 100 years. And for exactly these reasons, somebody, it's always that one person. It's that one gal, guy, whatever, that goes, now, what we could do? And it, let's do it until they wound up doing it. And what it was is you have the bank is funded by the tax money of the jurisdiction or whatever you're in. It'd be a city, a state, whatever. They go, all right, we got some place to put it. We put it over here instead of giving it to the Federal Reserve. That's first. I'm better for that right there. If you're going to be taking my money, they'll be giving it to the bankers right off the bat. Screw them. So you have your own bank, and then that money, they do whatever commerce and, pay for and services or whatever, employees and such and pensions, and then, got a whole another problem. But you have that money that's there on deposit that's lent out to the public, to the people. Now, who sets the, is it legislation, or is there bankers, is it private? You say it's public. Who makes the determination on who gets the loan and by what criteria?
Well, they have bankers, loan officers who make those decisions. And it was the legislature that drafted the charter in the first place. So there's certain things that they're allowed to do and not allowed to do. They don't speculate. They don't do derivatives, all that sort of thing. So they're quite risk averse. They do prudent loans into their local communities, largely for infrastructure. They do student loans below market. Everything they do is below
market.
Yeah, but
do they give enough loans to minority lesbian women that, have a handicap?
No, they don't actually lend directly to individuals. What they do is they partner with the local banks. So, our local banks are practically gone because they've all been forced to merge with the big banks.
Okay, now wait a minute. These local banks, are they part of this system, or are they like the central bank, Federal Reserve system banks?
No, they're private banks, local private banks. They have more banks per capita than any other local banks than any other state. Six times as many, I think. I mean, they have a lot of local banks. So this Bank of North Dakota helps these local banks with capital and liquidity and the regulations, et cetera.
So okay, now wait. See, I know you know this well, but if I can understand it, maybe my audience will. Because what you're saying is there is a public bank that is initially funded and has in legislation that the state, puts in the tax revenue, and then it goes from there. Now, the reason I bring this up, about some minority get status or something, is they called it redlining, where banks would go, nah, we're not lending any money into, the slum over here. We don't, lend to minorities or people that don't speak English or whatever the hell. And if for whatever reason, they're private and do what they want. But here comes the legislation. Nope. You have to give loans to, you know, no job, no income, ninja loans to these people because they need to rising on up to the top of they get their deluxe apartment in the sky. So you're going to have to lend to them. So if it's a public bank, they're setting the criteria by which they loan. But you're saying, no, that central, kind of a state central bank, interfaces with other private local banks and they do what the hell they want. Is there any statutory requirements on that money? You see my point?
Yeah, I'm not aware of any requirements related to race, that kind of stuff. That it's more about infrastructure. Like they're making loans for schools and, you know, building schools for it's about...
No, I understand. I see, my thing is like City of Phoenix here, they are building sidewalks. You know what? We're giving preferential treatment to women-owned businesses. So what happens? The guys put their business in their wife's name and they get the contract for the sidewalk. You see my point? I mean, it's just that kind of crap.
I don't think they have any of that.
All right. So we have a... But it's going to be susceptible. It's better to be susceptible to local politics and people, you know, the legislators and stuff than, you know, they, them, those, Federal Reserve. I'll give you that. But, you know, so you're bringing it local. Banking, which people think it needs to be big. I remember in the 80s, I'm raising a family, you know, we just got married and so on. There was Arizona Bank. There was Valley National Bank. There's all these local banks. Now they're all Bank of America.
Exactly. So that's what they don't have in North Dakota. They have a lot of little banks. They don't have the big, in fact, Wall Street banks are barely there. They don't have much in the market at all. The market is all the local banks backed up by the Bank of North Dakota. But what's most interesting to me and what I've written about, like in Web of Debt to start with, was is the fact that banks actually create our money. People think that what a bank does is it takes in money and then it lends it out again. That's not what they do. They actually create virtually our entire money system, or our, you know, our entire money supply. 95% of the money is created by banks when they make loans. So if you, right now, we're giving away our deposits, as you point out, our deposits, our capital, to Wall Street banks, which then leverage that money for their own purposes. They're not reinvesting that back into our local communities. So if you have a local bank that is required to lend into your local community, not only are you making below market loans that people can't get otherwise, but you are actually expanding the money supply. So you're actually stimulating the local economy, adding money into it, which otherwise would have gone to Wall Street and then who knows where, you know, offshore tax havens or foreign investments.
Okay, this, you know, it sounds like a better idea, good idea, 100-year been working idea. Who again it and why and how? I'm amazed that you got past a Senate and House in California. We'll talk more about that when we come back.
How many lawyers does it?
Yeah, okay. So now we talked, God, a long time, it was like 7-8 years ago. And I've seen you, you know, on the internet. I remember Web of Debt. I know you travel around in the, you know, the freedom crowd and more the patriot kind of community that was big in the 90s. And still now all the stuff you were saying then's coming to pass, and you know, web pages and internet access and digital currencies and everything make a lot more possible. And you make it smaller and smaller and smaller and don't have to have all the compliance and the blah, 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 blah. But the fact that you even got it through California causes me pause. How did that happen?
Well, what we got through was a bill that makes it easier to establish city-owned banks. So we still don't have any city-owned banks. We're just trying to, we've been working, like you point out, we've been working on this for 9 years.
Well, what was the obstacle that you had to overcome?
There are things like there was legislation there's a rule that says counties shall not lend their credit to, you know, individuals or corporations, et cetera, which doesn't make any sense because they already do lend their credit. They have revolving funds.
What the hell do they even mean lending their credit? What does that mean?
Yeah, well, that's a very good question. And it was, you know, it was the 1850s when they put that rule in there. You know, it meant something else. What it meant, anyway, so those are the types of things that we have to overcome and say they can lend their credit to a public bank. That's what this legislation says. They can do this.
Lend their credit. I need a definition of that. What do you mean lend their credit? I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. We don't know either. But the point is that with the opposition always comes up with, they say, well, you can't do it because it says this, that, and the other.
All right.
So, yeah.
So, so you change it and then you go again. All right.
Yeah. But what's done it, what's pushed this through is this really active, the millennial group. I mean, I'm so delighted that these young people are behind it, and they're very, they're great with the social media and they make videos and.
You know, this is the one thing that, you know, a lot of people, they don't, they're too impatient. I've been doing this 30 years and you've been around a while, and you kind of, you can see that you're busting butt, everything works, but just how much, and maybe you don't see enough in busting butt. All of a sudden it's 12 and a half years later and boom, somebody took a little bit of what you were doing, a little bit of that, and kind of a young guy and did a web page and kick ass, and now we're free. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, it's always, every effort is worth it, and the accumulation of when the right time, person, whatever comes. And for me, it's always been timing. And this, what's coming next, this, you know, 07, 8, 9 era of what happened, kick the can down the road. When this goes again, they're going to be able to look for the solutions with a search, which is why Google and YouTube and Facebook, they have to make sure these searches do not produce century of enslavement kind of stuff. You see my point? They are freaked about what's coming.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in the, I'm not freaked. I'm like, yeah, bring it on. Let's do it. Because it's going to, something else is going to have to happen. Because that's why we're supportive of, we have friends that operate called Bitcoin Not Bombs. And the reason was, is because with Federal Reserve, fractional reserve banking, they can, you know, fund the war. They just, you know, inflate everything, do whatever the hell they want. Well, with Bitcoin, you can't inflate. That's the whole point. You know, that's what, you know, gives it its value. So they're going, yeah, if you used Bitcoin, you wouldn't have war. Well, that's why they need the Federal Reserve, so they can have some more and make some money. You know, so this is all coming crashing down with awareness. All right, here we're coming back.
Network.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Today is a show. I'm going to put a publisher recommended today show. I always love our shows. We have a good time doing it. But today, man, it did not flow perfectly. We got Sam Patterson from GetHaven.app. Does a lot of work with IPFS. I got to remember to call him. We're going to get some today. We're going to work on it. Some stuff they have, some information that we need. Then you're private with your transactions for finances and communication and so on. What happens when that happens? We've been working on that holy grail for a while. Me, we're getting closer. Joshua Killeen, you know, he's an Army vet. You know, he's a wedding photographer. He built a wedding location retreat to have a whole bunch of making money up in Ash Fork, which is the middle of the freaking nothing on I-40 west of Flagstaff in Arizona. And then here comes the man. And it's all, they decided Ash Fork got a pushpin in it. And I seen this with, I was kind of, you know, amazed that it took this long for Ash Fork. Well, of course, they had them in their sights and now they're pulling the trigger and here they come with government. So we're going to go through. They're willing to, it's their home. They're going to go through it. But it all is kind of this, everything that we're talking about here is because of the abuses of the American people and their rights through a central banking system. This has been the base. I care not what they do as long as I get to make the money, okay? Or in charge of the money or do the money or, you know, fiat the money. Well, you know, what happens when you bring it down to the people? So closer to even at a municipal city level, they have their own bank. You know, I could be here in Arizona. Could I have the Bank of Phoenix and it, you know, I live in Phoenix and even have a Bank of Glendale? I mean, you know, how's this working? Ellen?
Yeah. I mean, could you bank in the Bank of Glendale in California? There are different ways it could be set up. What we're recommending is not that. We're recommending to do the same thing that the Bank of North Dakota does, which is you would still be banking with your local bank. It's the Bank of North or the Citibank or whatever would be partnering with the local banks, and you would go into your local branch office. I mean, we're not talking about the city of LA setting up branches all over the place. We're talking about them being sort of the equivalent of the Federal Reserve. In other words, they're the backstop. They're providing the liquidity. They're providing the capital or helping with the capital. So they're just expanding the monetary base of Los Angeles, allowing these banks to make below market loans. and more importantly, making loans to government agencies. For example, we need $700 billion worth of infrastructure in California, and obviously we don't have the money for it. Where are we going to get it? We actually need a new source of money, like not just moving it from one place to another, but actually creating new money. And that's what a bank does. It creates new money. So we can take our tax money and put it into our bank and leverage it into many times that.
Well, I'm wondering, I don't know how great and wonderful that'll be, fractional reserve my tax money, but you know, at least it brings it down locally. And I'm wondering how that would work. Would you have, when you have these cities wanting to do some municipal projects, or are they, you know, infrastructure for whatever the heck or something, they leverage the own money they get from the taxpayers, and then they get, you know, nine times or whatever the time. What is going to be your percentage? How many times are you going to be able to increase the deposits?
Well, you'd be doing what ordinary banks do. For example, right now we have the California Infrastructure and Development Bank. It's called a bank, but it's really a revolving fund. So it's got $300 million that it lends out at 3%, waits for the money to come back, and lends it again. If you took that same $300 million, you're not using tax money. It's a pot of $300 million that they got like 15 years ago. So you take that same pot of money, call it capital for your bank. Now you can make $3 billion worth of loans. You can make 10 times that.
I understand it's fractional reserve banking, but it's what their reserve is. If they have to reserve 10%, then they get the loan back out 90. What's your reserve? I mean, is there any reserve? Is it 20%? What is it?
Yeah, no. Well, it's probably 20% because, you know, they're so underprudent. I mean, it only has to be 10% or even 8% or whatever, but probably it would probably be 20%, but where is that 20%? You put it into federal securities, so you're still making, you know, some percentage on that money. It's not just sitting there. Anyway, so you pull in the state's own deposits. You're not taxing anybody anything more than they were taxed, but you've got all this money currently sitting in a deposit account somewhere, not earning anything. I mean, if it's a city of LA, it's sitting in Wells Fargo, not earning anything. So you can take that money out of Wells Fargo, put it in your own bank, and that's your liquidity for these loans.
Okay, now let me push back on a little bit here. And I'm thinking, okay, one, you know, it's using, it won't be using the bank money or bank notes like they used to, and they had their own bank money. It's going to be United States dollars, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, so it's not United States dollars. So it's just, where does it go? It comes from your tax, goes into the coffers of, and it's been the Federal Reserve system of they're doing whatever they're doing with it. Well, we got
it goes to Wall Street, and it's
it's the fractional reserve is still going. It's still going to be inflation of the money supply and so on, but inflation, because I've heard about this kind of thing before, to where they wanted to have their reserve, the money was like loans for infrastructure, like a dam or a road or whatever, where they actual money, when it got inflated and used, you actually got infrastructure for it. You got something for it instead of it went poof in some derivative or something. So it's are they limited in the kind of banking that they lend out? Is it for infrastructure? Or once they get it decentralized down to all these cities, they can do whatever the hell they want?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. We haven't done the charters yet for the banks. But in Massachusetts, for example, they have a very good bill going right now, and it's specifically an infrastructure bank. And so that's what they would do, is lend for local infrastructure.
Well, I've seen this with, it's like the savings and loan fiascos back in the late 80s, early 90s and so on, the savings and loan thing. And they had the Resolution Trust Corporation, RTC, when they just took every asset and they, you know, sold it in big giant lumps to more bankers and developers, and they, you know, resold it again. I mean, I've seen this over and over and over, and I'm just wondering, if we got people's banks public and it's controlled by down to the city, at least you have competing banks. Do you have to be in your charters? Are they residents of the city to participate? I mean, they have, you know, the city, the municipality has to fund the bank. Is there some requirement for me to participate with the bank in some way?
No.
It's just an option.
Yeah.
Can I have a checking account?
I'm saying the charters haven't been done yet, so we don't know. They'll be set up however the city decides.
Okay, North of Dakota, do they have checking accounts for individuals, or is it just, you know, businesses?
No, that's it. Individuals don't bank with the Bank of North Dakota, except you can get an individual loan for a student loan, for example. I mean, there's certain things they do in student loans.
Okay, so this is not consumer banking. This is more government debt kind of stuff.
Right.
So it's taking your tax money away from Wall Street.
Bank. All right. Yeah, exactly.
Why? Why you want to? Why you do? You still got fractional reserve. You still got inflation. You still got the government. I'm like, you know, I got a crypto wallet, and I don't report anything. Suck it. And I'm banking. What banking? I don't know what you're talking about. So, you know, if we're going to be doing banking anyway, we're going to do it this way because what are you trying to get away from?
Well, right now, I would argue we actually have two economies going on. We have that. The speculative economy, you know, the casino economy, the financialized economy, which is sucking money out of the local economy. So you've got the local productive economy and money in our current system. Money is created as loans, and when the loan is repaid, the money is extinguished. But the bank does not create the interest. So always debt grows faster than the money supply. You always owe back principal plus interest. Where is that interest going to come from? If virtually all money is created by banks, it has to come from more loans. So you've got debt built on debt built on debt. The problem is that interest is sucked out and other profits, et cetera, are sucked out and they're put into the speculative economy and they never come back. So they are not reinvested into our local community. So the idea here is to reinvest it into your local community so that the interest is available so that you can pay off your loan so people can actually get out of debt. So it's actually good to expand the money supply in the local community because our money's been sucked out. I mean,
we need to get more detailed on this. I want to sum this up, what you just said, when we come back. Get our minds right and wrapped around what's going on and possible solutions. Web of Debt. We'll be right back.
Is oral health important to you?
Okay, for me to understand this, let's walk this through. I have money I give a bank. I make money. I give this bank. This bank, you know, fractional reserve of 10, whatever the hell it is, then 90%, and then 90%, and then 90%, and all of a sudden, boom, $1 million becomes a gazillion dollars, all right? We have this enormous amount of debt out there. And like you say, when you take this debt out, you get a house. They just created that money out of nothing. And then I got to pay that back and interest. Where the hell did the interest come from? Well, they got to keep doing more debt until it's a big giant house of cards and it comes crashing down. Inevitable. This is math. Well, the math is coming to rear its head here directly. As we, you know, scrape ourselves up off the bottom of that barrel and get through this next wave of God knows what's coming, the ability to do what you're talking about, if you get it in California, they're going, you know, we need this. We want this. We're going to just wipe off all this other stuff. Of course, we owed way more than we're ever going to be able to pay back. We're California. So we're going to go ahead and start over again using U.S. dollars and put them into local municipal banks. Well, let's assume they're good and great and wonderful people. And we put that in there. Then when you were talking about they start lending it out and you say locally, as the money in the fractional reserve, as they, you know, create this debt, they're still doing debt, but they're doing it locally. And the benefit from that is what?
Well, you're expanding the local money supply, which you actually need to do in order to, right now, you know, you have people that everybody's in debt. You've got credit card debts higher than it's ever been, student debts higher than it's ever been, car loans, everything is higher than it's ever been. Sovereign debt is higher than it's ever been. There is not enough money in the system to pay back all these debts plus interest. And where did that money go? The interest and the profits got sucked out into this other speculative, you know, derivatives, etc. People, rich people don't spend their money in your local community, not much of it anyway. So if you take that money and you're still leveraging it, it's a good thing to leverage. I'm saying it's good. We need extra money in the local economy in order to even to employ people so they have the jobs so that they can pay off their debts, for starters. Or you can, I mean, there are many things you could do with it. You could give free tuition to students, for example, or build, make
it's things- a more local controlled resources of the people's money there. That's not Wall Street, man. It's gone. You know, so right. I understand you're still doing, you know, it's still a web of debt. You know, it's still government taking your money and they're making, yeah, it's working really good. We need more of your tax money. Make it work better. I mean, you know, I just, you know, I'm still got this government thing, but it's
not really. You could arguably. I mean, North Dakota actually cut taxes because they had they had a surplus. Nobody else has a surplus. Where did they get the surplus?
Okay. Well, you know, I what's the competition you think with the idea of cryptocurrencies? You know, that I just, my bank is my phone. I mean, you know, does that enter into anything?
Well, that's perfectly, it's a good place to put your money, but that's different from cities. What do cities do with their money? There's no way you're going to get cities to put their money into Bitcoin. They have to.
Oh, they're going to make them. Are you kidding me? It's going to be GoldmanSachs.gov coin within a year. You know,
it's not. Be the city. The city is still going to be
right.
The victim.
All right, let's talk about it. Here we go.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.FM.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, Little Miss Dangerous. Yeah. Okay. Ellen Brown, she's a little bit Little Miss Dangerous. I tell you that. You know, they, them, those. You think central banking and them and governments and, you know, are they competing? Are they see you in opposition, as the opposition? Are they going to try and sneak their way into it and be part? I'm wondering, you got it passed by politicians. Politicians don't pass stuff unless they see it's in their best interest or somebody wants them to. Who the hell wanted them to pass this to where you can do local municipal banking? When did that come from?
Well, California has many costs, and where's the money going to come from? And so they do see the advantage of having their own banks. Many cities are opposed to putting their money into Wells Fargo. They just don't see what the alternative is. So we're helping them create an alternative, and they agree with that. They see that that's a good idea.
Okay, now here in Phoenix, and okay, this is the world, okay? Certainly here in Arizona, I can see it, and I know it's even worse a lot of other places. It's pensions. All this stock market thing, oh, stock market, vote for me, stock market's how it's ever been, oh, stock market. And I'm going, what do they care? How many people really are in the stock? Who's doing this? It's the pensions. So all these people, municipal employees especially, they got government and police and firemen. They even, here in Phoenix, they just promoting an initiative right now, or a referendum something, that's going to be, we got to fully fund and more funding and the retiring keep pinky swear and keep our promises of, because the city of Phoenix, what they did is they made to where the pensions for the municipal employees, certainly firemen and police, they always tout those, you know, trot those out, get paid first, no matter what. They fully fund their pensions, and if you got any money left over, maybe we'll spend it and loan it out to somebody or something. So I'm going, yep, this is going to be able, they create their own bank, and that fractional reserve of, we gave it to the pensions to fully fund of whatever. So is it in loans? Can they do grants? Well, it's going to be statutory, whatever the hell they want to do. So I'm going, are we better off? And where's crypto come in? Is it going to be down to your mobile app? No, this is not for individuals. This is for infrastructure. That's the original intent. The infrastructure of your taxpayer going to services and stuff in your community. Are they going to be able to, see, they can do whatever they want. They can invest in freaking, you know, Philippines forever you care. They're going to just pass a law. And for it to pass in California, they're already thinking down the road on this, because what's going to happen now is going away. Ellen, you wrote about this. This is what you write your books on. You understand. Is the Federal Reserve System going to be able to survive this next recalibration, wiping of whatever the hell it's coming?
Well, I suppose you saw that the head of the Bank of England recently said that, you know, we can't allow the U.S. dollar to be the global reserve currency. But what he's talking about is turning creating probably a digital currency by the IMF, which would include a basket of currencies, but it's still a basket of strong currencies. So we're still talking like the five biggest. So really what he's saying, like, we want the British, the pound to be in there along with the dollar.
Yeah, no, it's special drawing rights, a basket of currencies of the kind, but they're just, it's like the Big Short. You know, they couldn't sell these stocks or these houses or these mortgages, and they're not paying them. But we'll reshuffle them and put it and call it something else. It's AAA. You know what I'm going? That's exactly, so I'm wanting to make sure that we're not jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. So when we go, we say, all right, we're going to still have fractional reserve banking. We're still going to take your money and taxes, and the government's going to directly control how this thing is working, done, and grow into. I'm like, whoa, just give me a freaking digital Bitcoin Cash wallet, and then we're done. But, you know, you're operating under the idea that the U.S. dollar is going to be around. We want to have it interfacing with the Federal Reserve System, but that your tax money at various different levels of jurisdiction, you could have the City of Phoenix Bank, the State of Arizona Bank, the County of Maricopa Bank, and you can bank between and kind of different loans for whatever. At least your money is deposited there by the government so they can control it. See, I'm what's your future thinking happen 10 years from now? If you got what you wanted, what would it look like?
Well, I think you're probably a pretty conservative station, but it would look a lot like what China has right now. In terms of banking, the reason China was able to grow for 10% a year for 30 years was because of their banking system. The banks are owned by the government, or at that time they were 80% owned by the government. So if they want to build a high-speed rail, let's say, they just take out a loan from their government-owned bank, which creates the money on its books, and then the revenue from the rail pays back the loan, and it's worked very well. That's what we should be doing.
You still need the interest created somewhere to pay this ever-growing China. I mean, they're starting to run into the problems for this very reason right now. So,
so it is alleged. I would say they aren't. I've written quite a bit on this, and I'm about to write another one. I mean, so they have three bankrupt banks right now, and everybody's saying this is shocking because they haven't had a bankrupt bank for 15 years. But these are three bankrupt banks that they are then nationalizing. In other words, they're going to become public banks. I think the reason they're nationalizing them, and they've been bailing out banks for years, they just don't talk about it. It's all very, you know, you can't see it. Now they're talking about it because these are three banks that are basically privately owned by this big billionaire Chinese investor that they're trying to bring down. They're turning them back into public banks because they've been disillusioned with this system that we have sold them on, and they're trying to backtrack. But so I'm not saying, you know, I'm not endorsing the communist system at all, but I'm saying their banking system,
government works has taken them. See, that's one thing. They always wanted this national bank thing. You know, this is what, Hamilton era going on about, Andrew Jackson. I don't know, it was another attempt, you know, and finally this one stuck. And I just want to make sure that we're fundamentally, it's better to decide. You're going to have banking, you got the one world federal, SWIFT of we rule the planet banking. Can we bring it down? All right, we got the nation bank. We got, the local banks, in Europe, but then they went to ECB, went to European Central Bank. Well, did that better up or down? Was that good? Well, we go bow local. Then you go, we'll go down to the state like North Dakota. We'll go down to the city. And is that a better direction? Maybe. But what happens when all of these municipalities that got all the tax money and then they're fractional reserving is like, woohoo, we got a bunch of dams and roads and stuff. And I'm going, okay, that might be better than not, but we still got this fraction. Where's the extra money come from to pay the interest?
Well, that's it. The interest, the profits go back into the city. That the city is required to use its profits for public purposes.
No. I'm saying that profit that they get, you have X amount money supply, you fractional reserve, and you got to pay the interest. That money has to come from somewhere. Are you getting it from Chicago? I mean, how does that balance out?
Well, let's assume that it's a government agency that you just made this loan to. The government agency pays you 3%, you the state. Yeah. Now the state has to spend that 3% back into the community. That's what they're required to do. It's now public funds to go for public purposes in the local community.
Okay, so it cancels that debt. That money that I gave $100, I into the deposit, and from that I get like $1,000, okay, 900, whatever. So I get $1,000 that I can loan out. That $1,000 got to come back from interest, let's say 10% interest, so I got $1,100. That $100 has to come from somewhere. But what you're saying is when they pay it back, it wipes off the other debt, but you still got this. I got to do the napkin here, man. You know, I just want to make sure that.
I agree. There's a fundamental, I would argue for a universal basic income, or I would call it a national dividend, because there is actually a shortage of money in the system for that reason. And so you need to, and the fairest way to do it is just to distribute it to everybody. Say, okay, we're short this month. This is the gap between debt and the money available to pay for it. We're just going to distribute it to everyone equally, and now the money's out there, and now you can start paying back your debts. But that would be a federal thing, not a city thing. A city is not allowed to draw free money from the Federal Reserve, the federal government is.
Well, this is something we need to pay attention to, because it got passed in both houses in the freaking California. But the fact that it got passed in California makes you go, right there, okay? So I'm going, all right. The ability for municipalities to take your tax money and put it in their own bank, I guess. I'm going, all right, as opposed to what? Giving it the Federal Reserve System? How much better Wall Street is that?
Chase.
I'm with you on this. But, it does seem kind of complicated, and it seems like paperwork. I can just, get me a crypto account. But, I think, like you say, the head banking guy that came from Canada, I guess they're interchangeable, goes to Bank of England, goes to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, all the central bank here in America, and says what? We need us a Libra kind of digital currency so we can really rip you off.
My name is Angel.
Yes, which is coming. All of this, I understand. I know what you were saying. I remember our conversation before, and I've had a lot of conversations on this. And the one thing about a lot of people, this is kind of seems as it's morphed into where government creates our own money via debt through infrastructure. This has been a thing in the Patriot community for a long time. I had a lot of people speak on this over the years, but I never could get past the. But then it's a government doing the bank. They're taking my tax money by force. They're putting it in here, then lending it out to whoever the hell, whatever criteria, to lend it out. And then there's still this interest got to be paid back thing. I'm still not wrapping my head around the paying back of the interest. Now, you're saying that the interest is profit that they distribute back to the people. But where did the interest come from? Is it somehow it has to be more debt to pay that interest too, right?
Yeah, well. But as long as it's paid back into the local community, it's available. Yeah, you could create it on your books. I mean, you've got velocity of money creates money as well. So as long as people are circulating it, you know that story about I have a conference call at 9:00.
Yeah. No, I'll let you go. Thanks for spending this time with me. I am interested in this, and you get more progress in other states, and something happens, and they sign it into law. Boom, Ellen wins. Because you've been doing this a while. I'm very interested in, just to get the win, though, they tweak it and it's kind of a win, but it really benefits them more. And I got another link in my chain to the crown, I'm like, yay. But keep me informed on this, and we'll definitely be covering it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ellen.
Good talking to you.
Bye.